Brilliant. Two thumbs up. We're good to go. Good morning, my dear brothers and sisters. It is a joy to be with you this morning. In our reading from Galatians, which we've just had read to us, we read the following words. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith, which worketh by love. And it's those two last words, those two words that in the context of this past year really have been ringing in my mind in preparation for this exhortation, faith and love. Because when you then look at this past year, and what an incredible year it has been for us as a community and as individual brothers and sisters, the current pandemic is teaching us much about ourselves and how we live and work in different ways. Personally, this past year has caused a reflection. I'm a reflective person. I do something right, I reflect on it. I do something wrong, I do less reflecting on it. But I'm a reflecting person. And so it is that I now come to the point after this year and I reflect upon myself as a father, as a son, as a husband, and as a brother in Christ, which has culminated in a point of this reflection. And I now ask the question of myself, which is, am I spiritually stronger than when I started this year? Have I used this time that we've had at home to develop my relationship with my Heavenly Father and to help and support my brothers and sisters? Or am I, in fact, still the same? Or worse, am I feeling further away from my Father and those to whom we have just read about in Galatians in chapter 6 and verse 10? As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially to those of the household of faith. This is why, for my exhortation this morning, I would like to share with you a brief insight into a very special household of faith. A group of individuals who, over this past year, have shown and embodied faith, hope, and love beyond anything I could have ever expected or experienced, which has been the greatest influence and support for me personally over this past year. That is our brothers and sisters living within our care homes. A group of brothers and sisters who have served their master all their lives. You see, we need to understand that from their perspective, they have been, in many cases, being imprisoned within their homes, only to leave for fresh air, to be told when they can or cannot see their family. And when they do, they have to see them through a pane of glass. In some circumstances, they have needed to remain confined to their rooms for up to 6 weeks, eating, sleeping, and crying in the same room. Their way of life completely changed at a time when change is not easy due to age or illness, not to mention the weekly testing and the random person coming into their room wearing very strange equipment and PPE. Consider, if you will, the fact that you are then told, as a brother and sister within the care home, that the person in the room next to you has COVID. And then you are told that the person opposite side has also tested positive. It is only a matter of time, and you can do nothing about it. When it does, You are watching the news. Will I survive? Do I need to go to hospital? You hear of friends and brothers and sisters falling asleep because of the virus. There is nothing you can do to stop it. And then, at the end of the 6 weeks isolation, the news comes that the home is free from COVID for the past 2 weeks, and that you are able to come out for exercise and have a single meal. Brothers and sisters, do you think there was any hesitation in coming out of their room? Do you think there was any reluctancy to join with their fellow brothers and sisters? The confidence that they had in coming out of their rooms and socializing with others was incredible. And I spoke to one sister, curious as I was to understand, and her response. And this is a sister who had been in isolation for 6 weeks. And I said to her, why is she so keen? Where was her energy? And it came from, it's in God's hands. How have they managed to remain so strong at a time when they are physically at their weakest? And it is three words that they repeat: faith, hope, and love. Now, when I compare this example with mine, I fall very so far short. In the middle of January, I personally was at my worst point. It was then that I personally was becoming overwhelmed with anxiety, depression, self-doubt, and exhaustion. But who am I in comparison to those who have truly lived through the pandemic? I do not attempt to consider the past year for you all, but simply ask for reflection and consideration to the example I have provided for you this morning. For although they have been out of sight, we do well to listen to their voice and clear examples. For this resilience, this strength, is not something developed overnight. It is not developed over an hour or over a month. It is developed over service to our Lord, the vigilance and diligence of reading his word. I repeat the three again: faith, hope, and love. For we share the same faith, we share the same hope, and the same love with them as we do with all who have called upon our Master. We share in something which endures and has the greatest of integrity and reliability, the love of God and of his Christ. This love is strong, it is robust, it is indestructible, and something we can trust without reserve. It is never failing love that we remember in the bread and cup of the Christ. The things that we so often put our faith in may be failing, but God remains faithful. What have been your worries? What have been my worries for this past week? Have you been anxious for your health, the well-being of your family, your job security, or the impact of COVID? If you had written each of your worries down on a piece of paper, would they fill a page, two pages? How many pages? Imagine all our worries, not only from your family or our community, but all the children of God scattered around the world. This is a burden which is too heavy for us to bear. And that's why we bring them to our Lord and place them on his table. We bring them to our God and cast them upon him. Now, David experienced numerous situations that filled his life with anguish and fear. His Psalms reveal how he prayed through this suffering and gives us a clear insight to this thinking. David's responses to life's challenge mirrors ours and shows how escapism is frequently our reaction. Something all we want to do during the tumult is to fly away. For example, let's read together Psalm 55. Psalm 55 and verse 4. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Verse 16. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. David draws us out of our, he draws us out from our escapism to the only reliable place of refuge. God is listening to our cries. Our worries arise. We are instructed to acknowledge how we feel, rather trying to ignore our emotions and entrust them to God, in whom we have faith. Verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Everything may change. Some things may fail. Only God prevails. We're not only worried about today, we are fearful of the unknown of tomorrow and what it has in store. We are learning a whole new vocabulary relating to the pandemic, expressions like social distancing, furlough, third wave. Governments around the world are attempting to model, predict, and quantify of the outbreak and its impact on the population, our health, and the economies, not to mention the release of the vaccines. We are being presented by our leaders and chief medical officers with a number of possible futures. We peer ahead and wonder how great the impact will be on our life, our family, and the world in which we live. What will tomorrow bring? In the UK, we are starting to see the slow and hesitant lifting of restrictions on our movements. But these questions remain ever real. When will things get back to normal? Is my job secure? When will I be able to see my family and friends? Is it the case that we will be living with COVID and therefore further restrictions? And so it is. Can any one of us, by worrying, add a single hour to our life? Yet being anxious for tomorrow has always been a struggle, and in times of crisis, it has become extremely acute. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? I confess that living with abundance for the last 4 decades has left me somewhat numb to these words, having sufficient food and clothing. It took a routine trip to the supermarket a year ago at the beginning of the pandemic to find food being rationed and to be told what you can and cannot buy. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. We can be thankful for today and confident that God provides for our daily needs. And the bread and cup of Christ reminds us of what truly sustains us for the road ahead. With a future that so often appears to us like an endless ocean expanse, we do have a point on the horizon. We have something which we can fix our eyes on. The kingdom of God, when Jesus will once again feast with his followers and friends. When fear of the future creeps in, have hope in Jesus and certain sunrise of his kingdom. I am minded once more of our brothers and sisters who live within our care homes. When considering the concept of love, this holy, vital, and pinnacle concept. Love, it has only been after self-reflection that this love has become more apparent. For their love is not solely categorized in the demonstration of love to each other, but it was and is their unfailing, crystal clear emotion and desire of their heart of love for their God, our God. But what we are told we must do is share this experience, is share this emotion with our brothers and sisters. And we received that instruction in our reading today in Galatians and chapter 5. What do we do? What should we be doing with this love? Verse 13 of chapter 5. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love. Serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. While this past year may have provided us with a time to focus on the weeding, on the cleaning or decorating, more importantly, it is a time to direct our hearts to those closest to us, a time to prioritize our home and family over our house and its furnishing, a time to focus on relationships and better and being a better friend, a better father, a better mother, a better husband, wife, son or daughter, a better child of God. I would like you to consider that today is our reset day. Consider it, if you will, a day when you can draw a line. You can say that that was then, and I am going to move forward. A day when you can learn from the past, when you can learn from your experiences, good and bad, and you can say, enough. For we have this day today. Today is our reset day. And we have to acknowledge the price that was paid to give us this reset day. This past year has taught us all great lessons. Remember, this is our reset day. We have learned from the past year. Are we spiritually stronger than when we entered? Are we lost with our cameras turned off? We must reach out to those who live alone and stay in touch with the vulnerable in our community. For those of us living at home with others, whilst relationships can be strained, we have love to guide us as we interact with each other. Remember, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Faith and hope will help us as we face fear and anxiety at this time. But eventually, we will have no need for either. For our faith will one day become sight. Our hope will soon become a reality. The love of God and the Lord Jesus, which we commemorate in the emblems, is eternal. It will help us bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, and endure all things. Now we are apart more than we have ever been, being separate like this, being distant, and it is strange. It is foreign to us. It teaches us how important it is to be together. So before we now partake of the emblems together, brothers and sisters, let's consider the instruction and the exhortation from Romans in chapter 8, that though for a short time more we may be separate, we read these words, that neither death nor life, not angels nor ruler, nor things present, nor things else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord.